धीतमस्तु
तेजस्विना
धीतमस्तु
मा
विद्विषावहै। So we went through the first part of the second chapter. We came to the middle somewhere, yes?
Just
11. But just to remind you the content of what was there. The discussion was about Anyat Shreya Anyadutaiva Preya, yes? Two different perceptions of the world through good and through the pleasant. The pleasant is for the weak and good is for the strong. And there are strong statements which are also applicable for now with the modern mind. Avidyayamantare vartamana. Yes, they who dwell in the ignorance within it, svayam dhirah panditam manyamanah, considering themselves being learned men, dandram yamanah pariyanti murhah, they are roaming around, stupid guys, as if andhenaiva niyamana yathandah, as if blind led by the blind. But considering themselves being very learned. It's all about us in some degree. So then it goes on where Yama says that this spirit cannot be reached, nalabhyah. He that is not easy even to be heard of by many, and even of those that have heard, there are many who have not known him. It's very similar to that what Krishna says in the Gita, that among thousands there are hardly few who aspire to know me, and among those there is hardly anybody who knows me. So this selection from those many to few was from the beginning of time. It's not something which we have only now. It was the thing which is known from the very beginning.
Therefore, creation allows this difference in consciousness.
Well, I would readdress you to the philosophy of evolution, that all of us are doing the work of failures and mistakes and tryings of different kind and build up those possibilities for those few to carry on, and then there is mass extinction comes and we are all dead, and then only few genes carry on and spirit takes up and covers and occupies all the natures possible with new possibilities. So we are all working for the same, only we do not see it, it's not visible. Only the frontiers are visible to us, those the best. We orient ourselves for the best. But we are all doing indispensable, minutest work for the evolution. Nothing here is done in vain. Even those endless roaming around. Yes.
Is this in any way to be compared to what Bhais often say about avatar or about meditation techniques and people that are on this, that are doing something perhaps more, that they help the others, the more
yes.
they do it, the quicker the others can come along.
Exactly. It's a very good thought that those avatars, those frontiers of consciousness, those pioneers, yes, they help the rest. They bring that consciousness down to them and they can progress faster and in many more varieties, which is also important. In manyness, in all this, yes, because the varieties will be different, but the help will be for all. And that is the miracle of avatarhood, yes. But even, as Shubhendu says, even if avatar would do nothing at all, but just bring his consciousness, that would be already enough for his work. If suppose Buddha would say nothing, and he didn't say much, then his work would be as valuable as he would write many books. There would be no difference, because main thing what he brings is the another consciousness. And what about Sri Aurobindo? Actually,
so many things that we study.
And you know what he says about that period. It's also interesting what he says about his writings. He was referred to that there was a period somebody said that he didn't do anything in his yoga. He was sitting without doing anything. And he says, yes, you can say about the period of when I wrote Arya that I did nothing. Otherwise, of course, I was busy. So all his writings, he compares to doing nothing. So you can imagine what he did in his life. All these brilliant books which we all study now, for him was something like, you know, doing nothing. So, and we are moving ahead, and Nachiketas asks him, I know of treasure that it is not forever. So whatever you offer me as treasure to dwell on, to live with, to enjoy in this world, it is not forever. For not by things unstable shall one attain that one which is stable. Adhruvaih prapyate hi dhruvantat. Therefore I heaped the fire of Nachiketas. Tato maya Nachiketas chitognih. Anityaih dravyaih praptavan asminityam. And by the sacrifice of transitory things I won the eternal. And here we had a discussion, because this is the vision of the Vedic sacrifice. That to come to the eternal, to the infinite, you can go by finite things, step by step in your life, offering every bit of your life to the perception of the higher spirit. And it can be established here, in this hemisphere, in life, not beyond life. We are reaching that which is beyond in life by offering those finite things to the infinite spirit. Now that path was forgotten later, and it was understood differently, that you have to renounce this world, and by renouncing this world you will reach to the eternal. You can see the difference between these two paradigms. Now Yama says, when thou hast seen in thy grasp, O Nachiketas, the possession of desire and the firm foundation of this world and infinity of power, and the other shore of security and great praise and wide-moving firm foundation, wise and strong in steadfastness, thou didst cast these things from thee. Now it's a little bit heavy translation. I will translate it to you word by word. Kamasya aptim jagatah pratishtam krator anantyam abhayasya param stoma mahad urugayam pratishtam drishtva dhritya dhiro nachiketo tyasrakshih. Kamasya aptim jagatah pratishtam. Jagatav pratishtham, the foundation of the world, the reaching of the desired of karma, kratoh anantyam, the infinity of the will, abhayasya param, the transcendent to the fear, abhayasya param, stoma mahat, the great foundation of stoma, of affirmation of the spirit, urugayam, reaching wide, covering all, pratishtham, the foundation, drishtva, having seen, when you have seen that, dhritya, having held that, dhirah nachiketah, wise Nachiketa, Atyasa Rakshika, you threw away all the temptations. When you saw that, and you remember there is in the Gita the verse where it is said that up to the moment when you see clearly the Spirit, you are still tempted to go back by rasa of the world. There is a very interesting statement in the Gita. Until you see clearly, directly, the spirit beyond, you are still a subject of temptation to fall back into that rasa of the world and to be kept prisoner in the world. So what he says here, most probably, that you have seen the spirit with your eyes directly. That's why you were able to drop all those temptations which I offered you. Because what he offered him was not a small thing. It was a huge temptation to be a king, to live as you want, to have all desires realized, to have all the enjoyment of the earth. And he said, no, I don't want that. I want that beyond thing. I want the spirit.
Just the other day we listened to this young woman, Kirti, about the cave paintings in Anjanta, and you see this king, the same theme, he's renouncing, I guess with the same sentiment, the same knowledge.
Yes.
That's expressed here.
Well, yes, I had to see that first. Right. Well, that was a little bit different because there to learn the art to be an artist, he had to learn the sound and to learn the singing. And all the arts are embedded in one final art. To become a final artist, you have to be a musician, you have to be a singer, you have to be an architect, and so on and so forth. So that was interesting from that perspective, how all the faculties correspond. But he is something more than that. He reached to the highest spirit and saw with his naked eyes, so to say, that spirit. And thus he was able to drop the temptations of this world. And it is very important, yeah? It's the basic realization or nirvanic experience or the realization of the self.
But then he will stay that way, and unlike the artist who we've just described now, not try to teach others?
No, that is up to him, whatever he does afterwards.
Yes, I know.
But he already realized something. He cannot be tempted by temporary things anymore. He cannot be caught by them. He cannot become subject to the object of his enjoyment. Object of enjoyment cannot subject him anymore. He is the subject. He can deal with all the objects of enjoyment in a different way, as a free spirit. Yeah, well, it depends. He may drop the whole thing and say, I had enough with this world, as Vivekananda did. Or you can say, no, I will continue, as Sri Aurobindo did. So, you can be a householder, you can be as Janaka was, Janaka king. You know, the story of Janaka king is exactly that story. He was realized spirit. He didn't have anything to accomplish, as Krishna says about himself, I have nothing to accomplish. And still, I am engaged in works. Janaka did the same. He was the king. He was ruling the whole kingdom. And when Narada asked Vishnu, who is your most favorite bhakta, expecting Vishnu to say that Narada was his favorite bhakta, suddenly he says, no, there is Janaka king there. Huh? How come? I am here with you in Vaikuntha, you say the Janaka king? I want to check. And he went down and he wanted to check on Janaka king, how he is really a bhakta. And he saw nothing. Janaka king was a normal man, normal king with all the reactions and everything else. And he was very disappointed. But then one day, when he was in the forest, Janaka king was in the forest, something happened and his palace burnt down to ashes. And people ran and said that your palace has burnt. And for one second, for a moment, he couldn't hide his disinterestedness. And Narada saw that glimpse in the eye. That disinterestedness. And then he became worried and he said, oh my God, and so on. But that moment was caught and he understood that he was hiding behind the mask of the king. He was doing all that earthly work as a sacrifice. Though he has nothing to accomplish anymore because he realized himself. So you can be involved. You can do, after being liberated here, a lot. And that's what Isha says in the second verse, Kurvan neveha karmani jiji vishet shatam sama. Doing here verily works, being free and doing works, one should wish to live 100 years, to fulfill this cycle of life. Thus in you and not otherwise, karma does not stick to man. So you create an environment in which there are other laws. Laws of existence change. That's most probably why Mother said, if I could cross 100 years, if I could come to 100 years, because she had the consciousness of the Lord from the beginning. She was born with this consciousness. And if she could cross 100 years, we do not know what would happen. So we are moving into a new section which we didn't read yet. Tam dur darsham gurham anupravishtam guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam adhyatma yoga adhigamena adhyatma yoga adhigamena devam matva dhiro harsha shokau jahati. I have to read Devanagari. Realizing God by attainment to Him through spiritual yoga, even the Ancient of Days, who has entered deep into that which is hidden and is hard to see, for He is established in our secret being and lodged in the cavern heart of things, the wise and steadfast man casts far from him joy and sorrow. Now if you go word by word, tam durdarsham, that difficult to see, guram, hidden, anupravishtam, that which entered, guhahitam, hidden in the cave of the heart, gahvareshtam, the deepest, puranam, the ancient one, adhyatma yoga, adhigamena, adhigama, adhigacchati, is to learn, to go above. It's an interesting word. Adhyaya from here, adhi, to go up. Adhigamena, by going up, by the means of adhyatma yoga, by the yoga of adhyatma, concerning self. Devam matva, having thought about the God, dhira, the wise one, or Sri Aurobindo translates steadfast from dhri, because both roots can be the basis of this word. Actually, it's from dhi, to think. Harsha shoka ujahati. He leaves jahati, harsha, the happiness, and shoka, the sorrow. He is not interested in joys and sorrows anymore. He has another foundation. It's quite imaginable, even for us who do not have that state of perfect equality. It's interesting because the perfect equality is the final realization, and it is also the means to reach that final realization. Etat shrutva sampari grihya martya pravrihya dharmyam anum etam apya samodate modaniyam hilabdva vivritam sadma nachiketa sammanye. And that is Yama is speaking. When mortal man has heard, when he has grasped, when he has forcefully separated the righteous one from his body and worn that subtle being, then he has delight, for he has got that which one can indeed delight in. Verily I deem of Nachiketas as a house wide open. Now, it's another image of the realized person. The house wide open. Vivritam sadma Nachiketa sammanye. He has nothing to resist. He becomes, as Krishna says in the Gita, as the ocean to which all the rivers of karma, of desires, fall. But they don't change the ocean. They all can come in, but he will not change by that. They will not affect him. Makes sense, no? He has another stability, other self-realization, which is not from this world. I deem of Nachiketas as a house wide open. Vivritam sadma nachiketa sambandhye. So there are few here also interesting things. Etat shrutva sampari grihya martiya pravrihya dharmyam anum etam apya. Pravrihya means as you, peel or layer by layer you take onion off or cabbage off, yeah? You uncover the seed, the kernel. Not in the cabbage, not in the onion, but in other fruits. Banana is only one.
Corn.
Yes, corn is a good thing. So you come to that seed, and that seed is anum, very small, dharmyam. So, having realized, having had this etat shrutva, having this inspiration, samparigrihya, having held this, that what inspired you, the mortal one, Martiyah, slowly uncovered the kernel, the central, the core, which is very, very subtle. And then he is rejoicing, Samodati, Modaniyam, that one which one can rejoice from, Modaniyam, by which you can rejoice finally, having gotten that, Labdva, Modaniyam, Vivritam Sadma, and he becomes as an open house for all the things to come in, because he has nothing to resist anymore. He reached his central part. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra smat, krita kritat, anyatra bhutaccha, bhavyaccha, yattat pashyasi tadvada. Now Nachiketa says, he asks Yama to tell him, tell me of that which thou seest otherwhere than in virtue and otherwhere than in unrighteousness. So he wants to know even deeper in that perception, what is there which is not in righteousness and not in unrighteousness, otherwhere than in the created and the uncreated, otherwhere than in that which has been and that which shall be. In other words, he wants to establish his knowledge in the self. And Yama says, Sarve Veda Yatpadam Amananti Tapansi Sarvani Cha Yadvadanti Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tatte Padam Samgrahena Bravimi Om Ityetat. Yama speaks, the seed and goal that all the Vedas glorify and which all austerities declare, for the desire of which man practice holy living, of that will I tell thee in brief compass. Om is the goal, Anachiketas. Now, I assume that there was a transmission of knowledge through this. It's not just to say Om. It is with that Om to say everything what Nachiketas wanted to know. This is the passage also from the Gita. Now Gita will have several passages from Katha Upanishad. They are following. They are all from the Gita in the same second chapter. Etadhi evaksharam brahma. Etadhi evaksharam param. Etadhi evaksharam jnatva yoyad icchati tasya tat. For this syllable is Brahman. This syllable is the most high. This syllable, if one knows, whatsoever one shall desire, it is his. Yes.
So what should you desire in that state?
Exactly. But whatever you desire in that state where you don't have desire is yours. You know why? Because it is already yours. Because you are that self, the Lord. Now once you are that, all that is yours automatically. It's not that you have to grab it and put it to your pocket. You understand that? The stupidity of that act. You understand that it is not really having it. You can't have it by having it in that way. It is yours already. That's what Isha says. Isha says exactly this. All this is for habitation by the Lord. Whatever exists in this universal motion. Therefore, enjoy yourself with all this, having become free from the object of enjoyment. Because don't grasp, don't lust after anything. Because whose wealth is it? It is your wealth already. You are the Lord. Only you do not know that. You behave as if you are Anisha. You grab it and think, now I have it. No, you don't have it. It is the thing which has you, not you have the thing. You are the subject, you are possessed by the object of enjoyment. You are not free from the object of enjoyment. You are not the Isha, you are an Isha, not master. You are the subject to the object of enjoyment.
Isn't that meaning in that sentence? When I don't remember who said that, Van Azi, means I am that, means yes. I am Brahman, and so we supposed to be all of us Brahman. Does it mean that? I think
it means that. Tattvamasi is another Mahavakya of Upanishads. I am that. This is the words of the realized soul. I am that. Finally, you know, you can say it openly, fully.
But you tell about the desire, but the freedom is a progressive element. It's not you are free suddenly, and it's a very progressive desire in many, many things. You are free, they're not free in. It's very, very, very important.
Well, according to Sri Aurobindo and Indian tradition, mukti is a state. It's a stage on the path. And that's why his yoga was described as shuddhi, mukti, siddhi and bhukti. And mukti is on the way. So for him, mukti was the first step in his yoga.
There's a very close relationship between this text and the poems that we're reading in the next hour. Very, very close. And it's very clear because the topic is Om in this definition, but it leads directly to life of another kind. And so you can see that there's an interpretation here that depends upon a shift, and the poetry actually brings about that shift, but the meaning is exactly the same as this. So you'll see that.
It's quite interesting because Gita does not borrow much from other scriptures, but this text is in the Gita. There must be something of this text which you can't really say it otherwise. Yes? How can you say about Om in different words, that to be so brief and so clear and also transmit something with it?
You said a minute ago, what he wants is knowledge of the self. But that's not obvious at all. I know what you mean by using those words.
Well,
but it doesn't matter whether you use those words or the word Om.
Yes.
It's a state which is neither the created nor the uncreated. It's something else. Yes.
That's what they call Atman, and he will refer to that Atman word in the next shloka. So, because that is the self, which I'm kind of translating from. And I think we can call it self, even in Sri Aurobindo's terminology.
Yes, absolutely. But what you call it doesn't matter.
Yes, yes.
You can call it Om, or you can call it self, or you can call it Brahman.
I think it doesn't matter if you would be in that state. But until we are not in that state, and we mentally try to grasp, we have to have things. So they have to follow some names, like Om Self.
But Om has also the dynamism, which the word self does not have. But it has other conceptual kind of perception, self, yes? It's more philosophical word, which Om may not have. So both are kind of adding to that perception of that higher state of consciousness.
This state is of this either desiring or not desiring, it's a mystery to me. I wonder if the isn't the word Shakti Pat, which means when the guru sometimes will through a touch, or maybe through that, maybe through this one sentence, Om is that, oh, it's suddenly, like you said, it's a, your life is
initiation. Yes, the guru can do that.
Spiritual experience, perhaps, like suddenly all life is different, like in a different color.
Yeah. This was happening to many of those great beings. Yes? Vivekananda was one of those who came to Ramakrishna, and he just touched him, and suddenly the whole life changed, and he was not the same anymore. Vivekananda. And you know how they met. First time there was a party, and Vivekananda was singing a song. He was a singer. And Ramakrishna was there, invited, in some room there, and he came to him straight and said, "Where have you been?" He never saw him before. "Where have you been? I was waiting for you for so long."
Vivekananda said that?
No, Ramakrishna said to Vivekananda. And Vivekananda couldn't understand. He didn't know anything. And then Ramakrishna told him interesting visions which he couldn't really confirm. He said that, "I had a vision about us. You are sitting on the throne and I am at your feet." Ramakrishna telling Vivekananda. Vivekananda couldn't take it. But then later, much later, most probably, he realized what Ramakrishna meant. Because Vivekananda wasn't normal being, as Sri Aurobindo explains. It was involutionary being who came for a purpose. It's like an avatar who comes to do some work. Everything what he did had repercussions, changed the world. He did very little, but what he did was really valuable. So these things happen. He changed America in 5 minutes of his speech. America was not the same anymore. Yes, with his simple thing, what he addressed the whole Congress of Religions with, "Sisters and Brothers of America." In 19th century. Sisters and Brothers. And everybody stood up and applauded for 5 minutes. They didn't give him to continue, because they were taken by these sisters and brothers. And it was, there was no more the same America, as they say, after that. So, well, that's avatar's words. They are simple, but they are direct and they exactly to the point. And of course he did much more than that. Yeah. So tell me of that, yes. And he told him of that. And it is interesting, because whatsoever one shall desire, it is his, the one who realized the self. Etad alambanam shreshtam, etad alambanam param, etad alambanam jnatva brahma loke mahiyate. This support is the best, alambanam. It's from alamb, to hang or to dwell on. This support is the best, shreshtam. This support is the highest, param, transcendental. Knowing this support, etat alambanam jnatva, one grows great in the world of the Brahman. Brahmaloke mahiyate, one becomes mahas, one becomes great.
What is that world?
What is that world?
Using the word the world up and so on there, so come down to material reality.
Brahmaloka, what is that world?
Mm-hmm.
It is that world which we were trying now to dwell on, that image of where self is realized.
Where self is realized.
Na jayate mriyate va vipaschit, nayam kutaschit, nababhuva kaschit, ajo nityah shashvatoyam purano, nahanyate hanyamane sharire. This is partially from the Gita. Na jayate, he is not born. The wise one is not born, neither does he die. He came not from anywhere, neither is he anyone. It's very good, yeah? Neither he is he anyone. He is unborn. He is everlasting. He is ancient and sempiternal. He is not slain in the slaying of the body. So this is Dehin in the Deha of the Gita, second chapter. The dweller in the body. He is never slain. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire.
It sounds contradictory in a way, because first when we read he is no one, and he didn't come from anywhere, and then he is related to the body. What is the mystery?
This is the mystery. He is here.
Because he is here.
And that is the mystery. How come that he is here and he is nobody?
He doesn't come from anywhere.
That means he takes also this body as his manifestation. He didn't come from anywhere. He was here. He is here. Hanta ched manyate hantum. If the slayer thinks that he slays, actually it is the topic of the Gita rather than of Katha, because it is slaying and killing is not here a topic. It's kind of interesting. Maybe Katha took from the Gita, I always thought. If the slain think that he is slain, both of these have not the knowledge. This slays not, neither is he slain. So if you are killed or you are killing, if you think that you are killing or you think that you are killed, you are mistaken in both cases. You are neither killed nor killing. This is the argument of the Gita, of Krishna, which is difficult to get, because some people, especially from Western thinking or Christian thinking, they will find this outrageous. My father couldn't really take it. He was always saying, how come? It makes no sense. So now what? You can kill anyone? Or let yourself being killed by anyone? This what it means? No, it doesn't mean this. You have to resist. And you have to fight, as Krishna says on the battlefield. You have to fight. This is your dharma. But please realize that there is somebody who is smiling at all this. That's what he wants to say. I know this is not possible to get immediately to, but gradually, like, you know, we are coming closer to this idea and to this perception in ourselves. We can already feel that something in us is not of this time. It does not belong to our name, to our formation, to our culture, You can have this perception. It is there, lurking beyond. We can feel sometimes this coming closer to us. Eternal, infinite.
Does anyone ever found that in the dictionary?
Yeah, sinteres comes from Latin. Sempiternum means always eternal.
Yeah, I can imagine what it means, but I mean, you don't find it in an English dictionary, do you?
Well, you find it in Victorian English.
Oh, really? Maybe they said it in the old
days. Try and Google and see what happens. Try it in Google and see what happens.
Sempiternal is used quite often. He's using this word.
He uses it often. Because it's quite okay.
And it's a beautiful word, yeah? It has this, it elevates something. Eternal is also wonderful, but sempiternal is something. Well, it depends how you see it, yes. For the time sempiternal, he says in the Isha. So, anta, yes, we read it. Anoraniyan mahato mahiyan atmasya jantoh nihito guhayan tam akratuh pasyati vita shoko dhatu prasadan mahimanam atmanah. Finer than the fine, huger than the huge, the self hides in the secret heart of the creature. When a man strips himself of will and is weaned from soul,
he stops from taking milk from the mother.
That wean,
weaned, or weaned means to stop taking milk from the mother.
To suckle.
Stop taking.
So you stop taking
the soul,
energy from the soul.
Yeah, okay. Then he beholds him. It's an interesting addition, yes, that you can. You don't enjoy sorrow anymore. Because sorrow is also very enjoyable for us. Our vital being loves sorrow. If there is no that lavanya, that salt of sorrow, we can't feel life even. We need it. That's why we quarrel with our beloved. Because we need a little something to see as different in the vitals. Purified from the mental elements, he sees the greatness of the self-being. Now we come to this Atmanah, yes? Mahimanam Atmanah, the greatness of the self. Anoh Aniyam. This is what Gita is using also, and in other places. Smaller than the smallest. Anu means this atom, this irreducible particle. I do not know what is irreducible particle for now. A wave of the quant, of
in
place,
now,
of the quant.
Looking through Switzerland now, they're looking for the
God
particle, the God particle.
Yes, that God particle. He is smaller than that.
What is the greatness of self-being? You explain greatness of the self.
Mahimanam Atmanah.
Yes, but you explain.
That's what all that Upanishad, this part, explains of that greatness beyond the passion and beyond the sorrow and beyond all that what our ordinary being knows. That ordinary being with all these varieties of manifestation dwells within this greatness of the self-being. It dwells within it. It is not opposite that it dwells, that the self dwells within the being. It is this being manifested dwells within the self. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. So that's what the explanation is here given. That it is finer than the fine, smaller than the smallest God particle, and it is greater than the greatest. It is greater than universe. It encompasses universe. It embraces all this manifestation. So that is the greatness of the self. That's why he didn't arrive from nowhere. He was here. He is here and will be always here, whether there is time perception or no time perception.
Is he not here?
He is.
He is.
Now.
Not that he is
and
here,
now and always.
He is. That entity called here.
It is also, you can call it here, and you can call it also not here. Because he is at the same time not here. No, it is not here at the same time, and it is the same entity. The Chandogya's definition of Brahman is very conducive to that, to this thinking. It is said, if you can know Brahman as space outside yourself, then you know Brahman. But if you know Brahman as space outside, identical with the space inside yourself, then you know better Brahman. But if you know that Brahman is a space outside, space inside, identical with the space within your heart, then you know even better Brahman.
But this is a sublime freedom.
All right. So the Brahman is objective, subjective, and super subjective, and it is the same Brahman. It's not different. Now if you can really come to, arrive to that consciousness and see it, then you will have a glimpse of it.
It's easy enough to conceive of, but when it comes at the moment you realize, well, you're not thinking this, that's okay, I know this, but you realize you don't have any idea.
Good. There is no idea.
It's interesting that the few things you have to strip yourself of is will and sorrow. Will and sorrow. It's only mentioned these two.
Strips himself of will. And he's not, yes, of this kind of, I am the doer. And from that attachment to the enjoyment.
Why is it mentioned so especially? It's sorrow of the best. If you don't quite will, you still have sorrow. But why are they separate?
The sorrow is the result of desire.
Yes.
When you have disappointment in desire, then sorrow follows.
But then should be enough with only will.
No. Something happens outside your will and you feel very bad about it.
Shoka, yes.
No, there's a lot.
Shoka, and the word shoka, vita shoka, without sorrow. The word sorrow is not really covering fully the meaning of shoka. Yeah? Shoka is also
grief.
Yes, grief, and also the impact which the world is leaving on you. Yeah? You're shrinking from that, and it is in the Isha, and he is not hiding from the world anymore. He is not hiding from the world. He's not interested to hide because he already has that self, which sees in all beings himself and all beings in himself. So he has nothing to hide from. He's not afraid, he's not shrinking from the world. That word, shrinking. Yeah? So shoka has this also connotation of shrinking because it gives you an impact. If you live in the world, you will have this impact every day. I would not do that, yes. I would not do that. I think one is more of the action and other is more of perception. If both have changed, if you're not shrinking from the world anymore and you are not considering yourself to be an actor in the world, then this perception may enter and you have that greatness. You can see the greatness of self-being.
I would like to define the two, since they've been put together. Will is a positive movement which can take you away from sorrow, because you feel like you can accomplish something.
Oh, good idea, good idea.
And sorrow is a negative movement. You can abandon will, but you can still have sorrow. Will is a way to go beyond sorrow. But not going beyond sorrow means that you accept sorrow. But if you also don't accept sorrow, then you step out of the cycle completely.
Very good. I also think that it makes sense. Well, it's an elaboration of that being active and perceptive. And it's very true that if you are active, you may have an illusion that you can overcome all sorrows. You can really work on it hard and have some results.
So when you stop doing that illusion, then you feel an absence,
yes,
an emptiness, a regret. If you then step back from that, then there's nothing left
but
what you wanted to start with.
It made me think about that famous Wu Wei of the Chinese in Tao Te Ching. You know?
Yeah, it's Wu Wei.
In the non-acting. Yeah. Is it Buddhism? Does it mean that?
Yeah, Taoism itself is
in the world,
quite similar to that.
Taoism has also origin from somewhere, from here, from Himalayan origin. At least it's not completely Chinese. Chinese is more Confucian.
It's not completely Chinese.
Yeah, well,
that's another subject. But
yeah.
There's also Taoism. You know?
Yes, I know.
The idea. I am in the world, but I'm not acting in. I'm acting in the non-acting in the acting. I am living, but I am not really here. No?
Yes.
So I can be touched, I cannot be touched by sorrow, joy, stupid joy, or soul is not so good.
Yes.
I found the most interesting in this, what you said, that the most impact of you from the world, the other is your real impact on the world.
Yes.
And if it's that, I can understand why.
But this elaboration of role is very good in psychological terms, yes? If you put these two views together, you will see something interesting about our psychology.
There must be a point where they meet.
No, that's the same view, only it is elaborated in terms of what it is, how we perceive it and how we think about it while it is happening. So, shall we? We have still time, or it's time off?
Yeah, we should finish.
Shall we finish today the chapter?
Yeah, yeah.
It comes to the end. Asino duram vrajati shayano yati sarvataha kastam madamadam devam madan yojnyato marhati ashariram sharireshu anavastheshu avasthitam mahantam vibhum atmanam matva dhiru nashochati. Always will be nashochati. It's a refrain of the Gita. Nayam atma pravachanena labhya namedhaya nabahuna shrutena yamevaisha vrnute tena labhya tasyaisha atma vivrnute tamamsa. These are the lines from the Gita. Seated he journeys far off, lying down he goes everywhere. Who other than I is fit to know God? Even him who is rapture and the transcendence of rapture.
May I read that one?
Yama is talking.
Seated, he journeys far off. Lying down, he goes everywhere. Who other than I is fit to know God? Even him who is rapture and the transcendence of rapture.
Sounds like poetry. You want still comments on this line? Maybe we read it and...
I, God, and him are what?
Yes.
On that second line, right? I, God, him. No. Who is in rapture? Those four are
it's
a question.
Now, look how complex the vision is. It's not only the divine, but there is also I. And there is something happening, seated and lying down and eating and moving, as Krishna would be saying. Yes? Eating, moving, speaking, taking, fighting, and at the same time doing nothing. Somebody there. So seated he journeys far off, though he's sitting here, the body is sitting, but something is far, far off of the spirit. Anywhere, in any form. Other than I is fit to know. Who other than I is fit to know God? Now suddenly it seems that there is something more to know in that infinity. There is something to go beyond, deeper and deeper. It's not the end. It's not something flat you achieved and that is the end. There is a depth in it.
You could also say, who other than the I?
Well, in Sanskrit text is mat anya, other than me, because
normally it would be translated me, but I think if you put I there, then what you're implying is that only the I, only the self, can know this.
It's interesting that there are three categories here, as you can see. Yes, there is I, there is God, and there is something, the state in which you are now, as the self realized, which may know God, which is not yet knowing God. And this is something very interesting to see. It's not yet final knowing, it is still the depth which can be increased. You can still journey to know him. It's not the final thing.
But is the Sanskrit very keen about that? Because I is not exactly the same as me, so...
Yeah, Mother Nia.
The Sanskrit is really...
No, it isn't there. But you can make this interpretation philosophically, mm-hmm. and it is valid to see it.
Sri Aurobindo is taking a little bit of license.
Maybe he does that. Mm-hmm. Putting I in this, maybe, we do not know. Ashariram sharireshu, realizing the bodiless in bodies. Sharireshu, now there are many bodies, not only mine. He is ashariram sharireshu. Anavastheshu avasthitam, the established in things unsettled. You want to read? It sounds like it's...
Yeah, and I think this is... Sri Aurobindo uses this kind of parallelism a lot in his own poetry, too. Yeah. When you put bodiless in bodies, you get a meaning that's quite unusual. Mm-hmm. Realizing the bodiless in bodies, the established in things unsettled, the great and omnipresent self, the wise and steadfast soul grieves no longer.
Is this anatta?
But what is interesting, the steadfast soul is different from that omnipresent and higher self. And when they find each other, then this change happens. Even if we don't elaborate on the soul here, because he's using it differently, dhira, he's not the soul, he's the wise one who has dhi, who has higher mind. But what he means, the individual soul, which is very valid to say for dhira also.
And it's knowledge,
yeah.
We don't forget. The self is not disappearing.
Yeah.
In this, it's knowing something more about itself.
Yes, realizing the bodiless in bodies, that means nearly like it is said in Isha, yes? The one who sees oneself in all other beings, sarva bhuteshu chatmanam, and all the beings in oneself. If you see yourself in all beings and all beings in yourself, you do not grieve. Grief. You are no more shrinking from the world. You are open. You stay open. Yeah.
I wasn't, trying to be facetious or anything, I guess, but Satchitananda Ananda is not represented here, not just worldly. Grieve no longer. Is this something greater in Ananda Satchitananda?
Maybe it's a stage. It's not yet there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let us see.
We're getting there.
Nayam atma pravachanena labhya nama medhaya nabha una shrutena.
Satchitananda is beyond the human knowing.
But this is too.
No, this is
better. Wait for me.
This is realizable.
This is quite within reach.
Yeah. Satchitananda is transcendental. But of course, it is here in all that form, manifested form. And that's why we feel sorrow and shoka of the world, because the Ananda is here. Only it is distorted by our partial perception. And then instead of rejoicing, we feel pain, because the self is not properly understood, seen. There is not enough light of consciousness to see the Ananda. It is hidden in soul.
That's a metaphysical.
It is Sri Aurobindo's metaphysics.
Yes.
Anyway, in Savitri there's a line that says, "Oh soul, it is too soon to rejoice."
Yes.
But I've thrown this, think about what the everlasting
know,
but where is the
everlasting?
Yes. So it's just one step. You've got a way to go.
Yeah.
To
yeah, that's a beautiful passage from the Adoration of the Divine Mother. So we will finish with these few, or we don't finish. With this view, we will finish another time, and we will continue next week. So we will end with a mantra. Om Sahana Bhavatu. Vijasinavadhitamastu.
Vijasinavadhitamastu.
Ma vidvishavahai.